We have finally reached the end of our summer sermon series on the Beatitudes. And so today I share with you from Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
We are at the end, and if you've been gone through the summer, know that since June we've been talking about the Beatitudes, the beginning of Matthew 5, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and if you've been gone all summer, that's okay. We're coming here at the end, and this is the wrap-up, so you'll get a little bit of a review here. And here's where at the end of the series. There are things that I wish I could tell you. I wish I could tell you that I won the lottery and I'm going to be giving the church millions of dollars. I really do wish I could tell you that. I even had a dream about that once that I'd won, that I had a lot of money, and I called my dad's church and I said I was going to be giving this big gift. And there was that dread of that realization that happens in dreams where you realize that's not true. I'm not going to be able to do that. But I wish I could tell you that that's what's going to happen, but I can't. I wish I could tell you that we've got 300 people lined up to join this church and ready to be a part of things. And I wish I could tell you that there's so much good news I wish that I could bring to you. And it's fun, isn't it, to be the bearer of good news? That's fun. Everybody likes that. I mean, there's so much good that I wish I could tell you. And you know what else I wish I could tell you? I wish I could tell you that being a Christian is going to make your life perfect and easy, that it is a quick ticket to Easy Street. I really do wish I could tell you that. I wish I could say that you're going to be healed of every disease, that God is going to pay all of your bills that you can't pay, that your kids will turn out perfect, that God is going to give you that nice house and the expensive vacation. I wish I could tell you all of those things. I wish I could tell you that the roof is never going to leak and the basement will never flood. I really do wish I could tell you those things, that God is going to give you your best life now and we'll all live happily ever after. I mean, there are churches where you can get that message, churches that do pretty well, and if we wanted those 300 people lining up, maybe I could start telling you those things. I wish I could say that. I really do. And there's nothing wrong with that wish, is there? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Don't we want those things for ourselves, for the people we love in our lives? We want health. We want everyone to be able to afford the things that they need and to have a comfortable home and to be able to enjoy nice things and have love and happiness. I mean, we don't wish hardship or bad luck on people. We want the best for everyone, don't we? And I wish I could stand up here and tell you that everything is going to go your way as soon as you hop on the Jesus train. I wish that. Here's the bad news. I can't tell you that. I can't. I'd be lying if I said that. And in fact, sometimes the truth is often the opposite. So we're at the end of this series on the Beatitudes. Jesus pronounces these blessings. Blessed are you. These several things that we've been talking about. And if you think back through them, they're not exactly a picture of success and happiness. Are they? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Today we're on to blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. These are not the things that we wish for our lives, are we? I mean, nobody says, you know, I think I'm going to start going to church. I think I need to get God in my life. I really think I need to make some changes in my life because, you know, I really want to be poorer in spirit and I really need some mourning and meekness in my life. I really need a little more persecution in my life. No, nobody says these things, do they? We usually say, okay, I need to be encouraged. In the spirit, I want to have joy. I want to have pride, a sense of power in my life. But blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. The Common English Bible translates it, blessed are those who are harassed because they're righteous. Nobody says, you know, I want to do right so I can get a little more harassment in my life. I just need a little more of that. A lot of you know that I knew Mariana's parents when I pastored in Montana 20 years ago now, and the wonderful small world that disciples are, that, you know, all of life is a circle, isn't it? People come back to you eventually, and I remember Mariana's dad, and some of you got to meet Bill. He's the nicest guy, and he lives in Anderson now. Mariana's dad and another guy wanted to take me ice fishing. And I'd moved up there, and I thought, oh, you know, I wanted to do all of the adventurous stuff, and I thought, ice fishing, that sounds like a lot of fun. And there was some mountain lake out in the middle of winter that they went to, and the best time for ice fishing is about 5 in the morning, so it kind of looked a little like these guys standing out there in the dark. And this lake they went to was a 3-hour drive away from where we lived, and now, out west, they're used to long drives. It's not a big deal. Things are so spread apart that we'd have inter-church meetings that people would drive 7 or 8 hours for. That was just what people did out there. And so, but to get to this lake at 5 in the morning, they were going to have to leave at 2:30 in the morning. And they were telling me about preparations for this ice fishing and how to dress. And I'd moved there from Texas, so I didn't have the cold gear that I needed. And I the thing I really remember is they said, okay, you got to have multiple gloves because, you know, you get a fish out and your gloves get all wet, so you got to take those gloves off, put on dry gloves. You don't want your hands to freeze up. And so they wanted me to go, and I was curious for a while, but then I thought about it, and I thought, you know, I just don't need that in my life. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to get up at 2 in the morning to go freeze on a lake. You know, I just don't need that. Life is hard enough as it is. I just don't need to add that hardship to it. And so I have that same reaction here. Part of, you know, I read the things Jesus talks about when you say, okay, persecution, harassment. I don't know. I could do without that, Jesus. I got enough problems in my life here, and now you want to add some more to it here? It's kind of like going to freeze on the lake. There's just things I don't need in my life. But maybe Jesus is acknowledging something here, something we forget. And we forget, I think, that to be a Christian is often just to be a square peg in the round hole of this world. 1 Peter calls us, as Christians, calls us a peculiar people. I mean, we forget that's who we are. I think in generations past, at least in this country, we thought of being a Christian as sort of just one piece of being a good citizen. You know, you went to church and you paid your taxes and you were part of a civic club, and, you know, that was just kind of one piece of that puzzle. But being a Christian, I think, you know, we forget means we're out of step with the larger culture. We're different. We're at odds often with things. I knew a man in a Disciples Church in New York State. I knew him from denominational meetings and things like that. He was a layperson in another church, and I knew him when he was retired, but somebody explained to me he had been in engineering for a career, and somebody told me about this, his story, that early in his career, he was working for a manufacturer who made bombs. And somewhere along the way, there was a moment of change for him in his life and thinking about his faith. And he thought to himself, is this what I want to do with my life? You know, I'm a follower of Jesus. Do I want to make instruments of death and destruction with my life? You know, there was a real crisis of faith for him there somewhere. And the answer that he came to was no. And so he quit that job. Got some other training, went on to a different job, something else. Now, there wasn't any persecution there that I know of. I think it was just the hardship of leaving a job, finding another job. But the easy thing for him to do would have been just to go with the flow and to say, you know what, I've got this really good, well-paying job, and I think I'm just going to keep rolling with that, and things are going well, and this will be fine. But he realized, okay, if I'm going to be a follower of Jesus who says, blessed are the peacemakers, then he wanted to give his life to something other than making bombs. There was something different he wanted for his life. Being a Christian, if you take following Jesus seriously, will put you out of step with the world around you. I quoted this at the beginning of our series way back in June, and I'll quote it here at the end. My professor in seminary, my New Testament professor, Dr. Gene Boren, he knew more about the Bible than anyone I've ever met in life. He said this. He said, Christianity is not a scheme to reduce stress, lose weight, advance in one's career, or preserve one from illness, as much as we wish it was that. Yeah. He says, Christian faith is not that. But he said, Christian faith instead is a way of living based on the firm and sure hope that meekness is the way of God, that righteousness and peace will finally prevail, that God's future will be a time of mercy and not cruelty. So blessed are those who live that life right now, even when such a life seems foolish, for they will in the end be vindicated by God. If you live the type of life that's outlined in the Beatitudes, it will put you at odds with the world around you. If you live with poverty of spirit, mourning the state of the world around you, treating the world around you with meekness, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, showing mercy, living with purity of heart, making peace, if you do those things, sisters and brothers, it will make you a bit of an oddball in the world around you. You might even be harassed for it. Things might not be easy for you. Now, in this country, we've got it pretty easy, but there are parts of the world where they because of their faith, they live in fear for their lives or their livelihood. And Jesus acknowledges that. He says, "Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad," he says. What he's basically saying is things may not go super well for you if you get into following me. Now, that's the bad news. That's the heavy bad news I'm giving you here on this nice sunny Sunday morning. Here's the good news. Ultimately, in the end, God's ways win out. Ultimately, God is establishing justice and kindness and love. That's the ultimate project for the universe that God is bringing about. Ultimately, God's purposes in the universe prevail. Ultimately, meekness, righteousness, peace, mercy, these are the things that matter. These are the things that God is bringing about. This is what God is doing. And so Jesus says, "Blessed are you who live according to those things even now, because you will be vindicated by God. In God's kingdom, they will prevail." So blessed are you. I've been saying this every week in my sermons as we've been talking about the Beatitudes. I'll say it here at the end. Blessed are you. Blessed are you who are poor in spirit, whose only identity and value is in God. Blessed are you who mourn and grieve a world so far away from God. Blessed are you who live with humility and meekness. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for what is right. Blessed are you who show mercy in a world of violence and cruelty. Blessed are you who have pure hearts. Blessed are you who make peace in a world of violence and war. Blessed are you who suffer, who are harassed, who are persecuted for doing these things. Blessed are you who are following God and doing the right thing, even when it's very hard. Even when it makes your life harder rather than easier. Even when you suffer for it. Don't give up, sisters and brothers. Don't get discouraged. Don't lose heart. Jesus says this. He says, "Know this. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. You will laugh in the end. You will have joy in the end rather than mourn. Your hearts will be filled. You will receive mercy. You will see God. You will be called children of God. The kingdom of heaven is yours." Hear that good news, sisters and brothers. Blessed are you, Jesus says. Blessed are you. Amen.